Gracious God, we have heard your word. Help us to apply your word to our hearts and minds. Amen. Please be seated. This isn't good. I've got a minder in case I fall. Just in case I fall over. So, thank you. Let's see how we get on. Now, you will have heard this story. The schoolboy, asked about faith, said, "Faith? That's believing something you know is not true. Won't you stand Sunday after Sunday to declare that statement of faith, known as the creed? Is your declaration wholehearted? Or perhaps are there some verses where you think, I don't believe that. Perhaps I'll just switch off till we get through it." This morning, I want to consider faith. What does faith mean? Where is the evidence? And I will return to the ancient creeds in a moment. Did you know, by the way, that the Nicene Creed is 1,700 years old this year? In fact, I think it was last week was the actual birthday. But first of all, in our reading from Hebrews, it begins, we have the definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Straight away, faith is linked to hope, the assurance of things hoped for, and to trust, conviction of things not seen. And I want to suggest that trust is also linked to love. So, and this is really an important point, we cannot entirely separate faith, hope, and love. They are or should be interdependent. In fact, I would argue that separated from one another, faith, hope, and love can become obsessive, can be dangerous. The action of a psychopath, even. And I will come back to that later on. Now, think for a minute. In your own life, when did faith, hope, and love coincide? And change perhaps everything. A wedding day, perhaps. Perhaps your own. Or maybe that is someone you care for. It will be soon a day of happiness, yes. Of love, certainly. Of faith in your partner, indeed. Of hope for the future, of course. My favourite passage from the Common Worship Marriage Service is this. The bride and groom say to each other, "All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you within the love of God." These are mighty big promises made within that overarching framework of faith and hope and love. These promises are based on feelings, the feelings each one has for the other, powerful feelings, which make sense. They make sense because they're based on evidence. What sort of evidence? The passionate evidence of mutual attraction, of shared interests, of the longing for a shared life, of longing perhaps for a family. Now, tell me, do you ever, maybe jokingly, Refer to your spouse as your better half. It's a hint that within marriage there are two halves which are somehow made complete in one whole. Well, the truth is that the wedding day is, of course, just the start of the marriage. We hope it will last a lifetime. It will be a journey which will inevitably embrace struggle and heartbreak, as well as joy and fulfillment. We possibly don't want to hear that. Our hearts long for truth, for simplicity, for clarity, for certainty. But moral certainty quickly stiffens into prejudice and persecution. One of the tests, I think, between a church, shall we say, and a cult. A church, we hope, embraces the truth, and the truth sets you free. A cult, which may in some ways espouse the same statements, but will bind you in chains. And I might come back to that if I have a chance. It's probably a whole sermon on its own, so we maybe leave that for the moment. So, truth is elusive. It's found not in pride, but in humility. Now, John Donne, the metaphysical poet and pastor, wrote this: on a huge hill, cragged and steep, truth stands, and he that will reach her about must, and about must go. A little self-doubt is healthy, and we need to be curious, to be open in our search for truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And faith in Jesus will not be simple and straightforward. It will be a lifetime search, a quest for truth, a journey founded on hope and love, like the best of all marriages. And faith in Jesus will bring healing and wholeness. Cast your minds back to a sermon Andrea delivered a few weeks ago. She spoke about the encounter between Jesus and a man, naked, violent, and so crazed that he didn't know his own name. He called himself Legion. His mind was in pieces. You will remember that encounter with Jesus, Jesus heals the man. Jesus restores him to complete physical, mental, and spiritual strength. He makes him whole. The disciples return to find the madman calm, clothed, and in his right mind. But what Jesus, human and divine, did for this one man, he has also done for the entire cosmos and for all time. In his life, death, resurrection and ascension, and in the sending of the Holy Spirit, Jesus offers each one of us and the whole world and for all time healing and wholeness of body, mind and spirit. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says that God's purpose set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time is to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Now, I thought I might illustrate this by telling you something of my own journey in faith, with some trepidation. As a child, I went with my family to church. It was a sterile and joyless experience. Lots of hell and damnation, no delight, no debate, no place for women and girls. In my early 20s, I lost my faith. I had been struggling for some time. The last straw came when riding a bus up Brixton Hill in London. The bus stopped outside an especially ugly church. I thought, how could any God allow such a monstrosity to be erected in his name? And I stopped believing. I also felt a light extinguished in my mind. But I felt relief. I struggled on for years, trying to live a good life, but somehow always failing. From time to time, I used to pop into empty churches, but always they were empty. Always felt a sense of disappointment. And by now, I had 3 young children. And when my small daughter started school, she'd come home with little Bible stories. Not everyone believes that, I said earnestly. Well, I believe it, she said stoutly, and I don't believe you. I was absolutely shocked. She always believed me. I was a conscientious parent. And I thought, I must really look into this. I found a local church and began nervously attending. It was a revelation. Lively, welcoming. I was challenged. Oh, I'll try prayer, I thought. See what happens. Is there anyone up there? To my surprise, some prayers were answered. More than that, my fragmented thoughts and feelings suddenly fell into place. The parts became a whole. Now, this was just the beginning of a relationship with God, a journey in faith, a journey now with meaning and purpose. All this was a long time ago, and it hasn't always been easy. But do you remember Bob Edie, talking to us recently about St. Peter? Bob pointed out that Peter, passionate, devoted, and flawed, was in Jesus' company for years. And despite his own personal failures from time to time, Peter's faith in God grew. Over the years, despite stumbles, my faith has grown too. And the journey is not over yet. So a final thought about those creeds when we set out and assert our beliefs. The old ones, like the Apostles and the Nicene, were compiled at historical times of crisis, of swirling heresies and political power struggles. You know, maybe the old forms seem a bit dry to us today, but today across the world, particularly across the internet, heresies, half-truths still flourish. They sound plausible, even comfortable. But I would say again, if you want to say the difference between a cult and a church, a cult will bind you in chains. A good church, Christ, will set you free. We need to be ever vigilant, humble, and prayerful, and navigate that slippery path between truth and lies. Study the ways of Jesus. Be very aware of perceiving ourselves, to be the righteous ones. Now, in our seasonal services of Holy Communion, Andrea uses various different creeds, which are slightly nuanced. Here's a challenge for you. Why don't you try composing your own? And I'll end with mine, and you can pick holes in it afterwards. I believe in God, the Creator, source of all being. I believe in Jesus, eternal Word, holding together all that is. I believe in the Holy Spirit, bringing life and light into the void. Amen.